Welcome to a special podcast for Christmas Day. If you know someone who cannot get out today, please send them a link to the podcast. Our first reading is from Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Our next reading is from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you," or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son," and again, "When he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all the angels worship him.'" Our gospel reading is from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is called A Day to Rejoice. In a favorite story of mine, the Fellowship of the Ring is supposed to carry the evil ring of power to a mountain to throw it in the lava of the volcanic mountain. Before they can get anywhere near, they have to go through deep and deadly mines where they've encountered the enemy, which is frightened away by an even more fearsome enemy, a deadly dragon-like creature. As they cross the final bridge out of the mines, the wizard who is with them, guiding the party, puts himself between them and the deadly enemy, telling it, "You shall not pass." And soon, the bridge collapses, and you think the wizard has escaped, but the whip of the terrible beast flails upward and grabs hold of the wizard, and he is pulled into the deep, seemingly endless chasm. The entire party is cast into disarray and despair as they weep on the mountainside after they have escaped the mines. And you think it's the end, until later the wizard returns, not in gray, but now in a brilliant white. This is without a doubt Christian symbolism, a reminder of Jesus and the resurrection. It is also a reminder of the great battle in which the Savior will come and destroy the beast once and for all, that old evil foe. The feeling of loss and despair is all too real. It is to be found in hospital rooms and bedsides when a dear loved one has departed. God's very own Son and his disciples were not unaccustomed to this very feeling. We learn that at the tomb of Jesus' dear friend Lazarus, that Jesus wept. And this was what happened at the cross, Luke chapter 23. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. As we reflect on the meaning of Christmas, this is exactly what the Son of God came to do. Yet, Christmas morn is the day of rejoicing. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 52, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." The light of the world, Jesus Christ, through whom the world was created, descended from heaven into the darkness of this world. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness did not know it. All this from a world that was indeed created by the eternal God. It is amazing that the world that God created did not recognize him. That is the consequence of sin and death, the sin that plunges humanity into darkness and the lack of recognition, because there are no longer any generations who were there at the beginning, rejoicing at the creation, because of death. Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the glory of God sent to earth. On Christmas Day, we rejoice that the light has come into the world, the Word, the Son of God, who brings with him salvation for all humanity. Think of the angels appearing to the shepherds out in the field, along with the first angel who had told them where to go to find the child, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Think of the shepherds heading to Bethlehem in wonder to see the curiosity of this baby wrapped in the swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Think of a very young Mary wondering at what the shepherds were saying about it, treasuring up all these things and pondering them in her heart. Think of Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus at the temple and making their sacrifice. A man named Simeon was told by God the Holy Spirit that he would not pass away before he had seen the Christ. Joseph and Mary were again marveling about what was said, but at the end Simeon says an ominous thing. "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." In our deepest moments of reflection and introspection, whether on a special occasion like this, or in quiet times of prayer, we know that God has a way of piercing our own hearts as well. His Word can convict us and show us where we have been lackadaisical, and God can show us our sins. We realize, especially in these times, that we absolutely cannot make it without Jesus. Life isn't just going to go on forever like we're in a rowboat, rowing in the stream of life, and the days and years of life are passing dreamily. We need good news, and God has delivered it in his Son. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. Even then, the purpose of the child was to give salvation, a baby lamb who would grow up to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. To take away the sting of those times when we sit in the hospital room, or by the bedside, at home, knowing that nothing more can be done, for those times of national distress, when we lament a tragic happening, for those times we walk away, beating our breasts, dumbfounded at what has just transpired. Think of all those people walking away from the crucifixion. Think of his disciples and his mother. Think of the sorrow and despair they must have felt. They just didn't know the fullness of what was to come. On the third day, Christ rose again. Don't you think on Good Friday, when darkness hung over the land, must it have seemed like the darkness had finally won, that the light had been snuffed out? At the resurrection, we saw that not even death in the grave could hold Jesus. At this point in history, we see a lot going on that is worrisome. We wonder what the landscape is going to look like in the year and the years to come. That may seem worrisome. There have always been worrisome times since the fall. Yet for those who love him, God provides. Like the bridesmaids that trimmed their lamps and had plenty of oil, we should be prepared for whatever may come in a worldly sense. But even more, we should be prepared for the Savior, being in prayer, being in God's word, repenting where repentance is needed, setting aside sin, setting aside the things of the old Adam, coming to receive the forgiveness that God offers us through his Son Jesus. God has sent the new Adam, the one who died on the cross that we might have life. This is good news for us, a day to celebrate. And so we recall, just as the words of Hebrew 1 begins, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? God didn't send a prophet, a warrior or conqueror, a king, or even an angel. God sent his very own son to rescue us and claim us out of sin and death. For that we rejoice, and we worship our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in joyfulness this day and always. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh for us. Lord, help us ever to remember his death on the cross and his resurrection for us, that we might have life. We thank you that we have a new inheritance in him, not the darkness of this world, but the inheritance that you give us, an eternal life with you. All these things we pray in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in us. down